Hi, we're back. We got news and shit. This and more on episode 132 of Indie Game Riot. Indie Game Riot! Hey everybody, this is Josh, and I am here joined with Mr. Hunter, that is Eric Hunter. So Hunter, comma Eric, with an M and a period, if we're doing this on the legal form.
We are.
Last name first. And it is episode 132 of Indie Game Riot, and I'm going to get some music rolling here. So everyone has a good time. Hopefully it's not too loud. Let's turn that down a little bit. Yeah, good enough. Anyway. I know it's a little bit of a new setup. That is because I got a new webcam, but it has a tiny little tripod, which means I can move it easier. And now you can see this nice shelf of nerd crap I have that you enjoy instead of the stupid ugly screen thing I had behind me. And other than that, it's been a while. The universe was highly against Indie Game Riot existing.
For a while, yeah.
Things, yeah. So, fuck the universe, I say, and we're back, and I hope you enjoy. Eric, how have things been over this past month or so?
They've been good. They've been really good. Been busy.
Have you had any more children?
No.
Have you created your plan to take over the world?
Yes.
Have you grown a third nipple?
Only if the third one that I had originally had fallen off.
All right. Well, we've passed that. And for me, I've been doing some voiceover stuff and streaming. By the way, I should say that too. Indie Game Riot, I'm kind of expanding the Twitch channel for those of you watching live or want to watch live. It's always going to start at 9:30 p.m. Eastern time. But I have like a schedule thing I put down below in the Twitch stream. If you don't watch on Twitch, check out the Twitch channel, I guess. The videos are on there for at least a couple weeks, I think, anyway. Then again, if you're watching on YouTube, why the fuck would you do that? Anyway, the point is, I'm trying to stream every day on weekdays, not the weekend. Weekend's off. And mostly indie game centric, although I'm opening it up to just kind of chilling out too and playing games or whatever, because like I was saying before the show, I played a little bit of Overwatch on Monday and Rage. Speaking of Rage, the past 2 days, I played. The first day was called Steam Adventures, and basically me taking a game off of Steam that I had not had time to play or check out or whatever, so it's like a mystery. I have no idea if it's going to be good or bad, but I play it.
It's like a mystery.
Yeah. And I played 140, which actually is pretty popular. I just have not played it. And it is a good game until I fucking freaked out and said, fuck it. It was very enraging. There's like, have you played it?
Yeah, I'm trying to pick what.
There's a third, like, I think it's like the third, I guess you could call it boss, where you have like this little arrow and you have to like rotate it. And then all of a sudden you have to like somehow fucking guess which way, because it turns the thing that you're supposed to hit. It's hard to explain without you seeing it, but you have to turn the arrow in a way that it's going to hit while at the same time also predicting the beat, and I don't know. It was pissing me off. And then yesterday, I played Cluster Truck, and everyone knows what the fuck that does to me if you've seen it, me play it previously. And my blood pressure was pumping. I'll say that.
That's like a new thing now. Like, it's fun to play games that just, like, you know you're going to get your nuts kicked in when you're playing it, but, like, that's
the fun of it.
People
like to watch it, I will say that.
Yeah. Like, that always used to be the joke. Like, you'd see videos on YouTube, like, the whole Rage Quit videos, and you're like, oh, I'm not watching this. Like, watch some guy get mad, and then it's, like, after you've played those games that, like, really get you mad, but you realize that the reason that you're mad is because you're not good at them. It's like, oh, no, I get it now. It's not just because the game's bad. It's like, I'm not good at the game.
Yeah, that too.
Like, yeah.
Just suck
yeah.
generally.
Yeah.
So, yeah, check out that schedule. I'm going to try and keep that pretty consistent and give more content and all that sort of stuff. And trying to think if there's anything else. Oh, voice acting is another thing I'm putting on stream from time to time, like when I have time during the day. That'd be earlier. I did it once, and Holly was there, who's in the chat right now, as was Okais, who I don't think is here because he sleeps around this time, as most people would at night. And I think they enjoyed it. I don't know. You'd have to ask them. It's a little awkward for me, especially being the first time, but if you like it, I will try and do it more. So if you haven't seen it, I have a video of something, what it would be like, on YouTube as well. So let me know. I don't know. Am I missing anything before we move on to something else?
No, I got nothing.
All right, man. Well, it's time for some indie news injection, because we got a doozy today.
Are you bored with the same old games?
Yeah.
Why, then give yourself an indie news injection.
Thanks, indie games.
This week on Indie News Injection, we have a lot of stuff to cover because it's been so long. Some of this stuff you may have already heard about, but we're going to talk about it anyway, just briefly at least, because we got a lot of stuff to go through. I don't know. I wrote down, by the way, like a discussion point. I don't know if we're going to have time for that through all this, but you know, we'll see what happens. Sure. Anyway, the first thing is there's a game jam that I'm actually a host for, similar to the one that we did for IRX, but a little bit more specific to adventure games, which I need to do that. There we go. It's $101 adventure game challenge. Is a game jam hosted on itch.io. There will be a link. I don't know if... Are you still in chat, Eric?
Yeah, what's up?
Do you mind linking that in case anyone's interested?
I would be honored to link this.
And that is $101 that you can win for being the best that you can be.
I have to send it to you first.
Actually, you know what? Fuck this. Hold on, I'm going to do it this way.
I'm going to say I can just send it to our chat.
No, now you're mod.
So work now? Can I just do it?
Yeah, you can just do it. You do have to make an adventure game, so it's not just any game that you want.
Liar!
The theme, by the way, this has started started a couple days ago. It is going on for a while, so you have time to hop in there if you hurry up. I think it's... Let me double check. Let me open it up. It is going until the 24th. The 25th. I think you have a little over... It depends on what time zone you're in, I think. For me, it says the 24th at 5 p.m. Anyway, you have a little over 10 days. 10 days, 19 hours, 4 minutes, and 13 seconds. So you have plenty of time. And you could win. The theme is historical fiction. So basically, you need to pick any historical event. It has to be of note. You can't be like, this one time I took a massive shit. No one cares. You know,
well, hold on a second. Nobody cares. Somebody cares.
Well, unless that shit like created a seismic event the world has never seen before.
Yeah, or like if it turned into a poop monster of some sort.
That would be if it was noted in history books. Sure, but we have to be able to at least find where this event came from. You can't just like Fallout 4 would not count in my mind because that never happened. Like there was no nuclear fallout in the 50s. It could have. That's more like alternate history. It's not necessarily fictional history. Like you take
That and so this FAQ, it says, so one of the questions is, are games like Portal and A Story by My Uncle considered adventure games? And the answer is no, they are not. They are puzzle platformers.
Yeah, that too.
So it says if the primary gameplay is twitch-based, requiring precision timing and action-oriented puzzles, then it's not an adventure game. So stick with your point and clicks, man. There's nothing wrong with the point and click.
Good stuff. I'm actually pretty excited. I love point clicks. You know what else I'm excited for?
The next item, which would be... Is it the We Happy Few? Yeah,
We Happy Few. Actually, I don't know how excited I am. I already have this on Steam. But anyway, We Happy Few is going to be on PS4, but is now being published by Gearbox. Still indie or no? They're not owned by Gearbox, just being published.
I mean, it's...
This is the question every week. Still indie or no?
Why is this the question every week? Like,
because it's the one that's most gray.
True. So, I mean, the game's being produced on some PlayStation 4 because it surpassed its indie title. Like, a major publisher has notified this game as being good in terms of return on investment, so they're deciding to put up money for it. So, I mean, at that point, does it matter?
Yeah, well, I mean, they already made the majority of this game themselves, I think. I mean, still in early access.
Right, yeah.
But, anyway, they're it's
supposed just, to be Gearbox coming, is probably just cleaning it up, is all they're doing.
Yeah, it's supposed to be coming out on April
13th.
Wait a minute. When did I get this story? Why I got this story about Gearbox, like, not that long ago, and for whatever reason...
So the date on this says it's August 16th.
Maybe it's next... Okay, yeah, I just read it because they have the stupid European date system.
No, this is April 13th, 2013.
Yeah, okay. That... Wait, what?
Or 2018. 2013! 4 years in the past.
That just made it worse. Now I'm really confused. Anyway, April 13th, 2018. That makes more sense. Anyway, yes. I actually, because of this, I recently played We Happy Few to see, like, what kind of changes were made. Because the first time I played it, I was like, I don't know what the fuck I'm doing after the intro.
Right. Which is the idea, I think, isn't it?
Well, it is. I mean, I think there's going to be a pretty, it's not a pretty linear, but there is going to be a story where it's, like, pulling you along if you want to follow it. There is also, like, a sandbox mode with, like, quests, I guess, which is what's open currently. So, but they do a better job of, like, letting you, like, hey, by the way, maybe you shouldn't do this, or maybe you should do this. Here's your options at this point. Gotcha. I did get stuck. Like, I couldn't even get through, like, there's, a bridge with a gate that you had to get through, and I couldn't find where the, I don't know. I couldn't find where that thing I needed to get through was, but I will say it is definitely improved overall as far as content goes. So I'm excited where it's going.
See, I think the bigger news article here is the fact that Sony feels like it's okay to release a game that's in early access for $60.
Well, I mean, Ark did that.
Exactly.
Yeah, I don't appreciate, like, that personally,
because they have no like solid early access.
They're
going to
put out DLC just like Ark did before they're even fully released.
So, I mean, I think that's the real note here.
But yeah, that's bullshit.
Yeah.
But
no, I think this is great. I think if this takes off and it kicks back more to the developer, then they can turn around and make another indie game. So, I mean, it's, you know.
Yeah. Well, you know what's not bullshit?
Is it the Necrodancer?
Necrodancer devs. They are creating a new game called Industries of Titan. It's a city building game. Which makes me really excited. I love those kinds of, like, management, city building type sim games. Mm. And Necrodancer is one of my favorite indie games of all time.
Mm-hmm.
It is fantastic. So I can only assume that this is going to be great. That's Tony the Tiger.
It's going to be great.
To quote the famous Tony the Tiger. Mm-hmm. Anyway, design your own city and grow in just a few small buildings into a massive metropolis. Set up production lines inside your factories, turn raw resources into more powerful devices and buildings, so it's like a little bit of a factorial thing to it, too, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Balance the needs of your workers, your factories, and your buildings to produce a powerful, efficient economy. So if you're into the whole economy thing, like SimCity, maybe... I guess I don't know how detailed SimCity went. It's been a while since.
It's not that. Yeah. Well, I mean, my experience with SimCity ended on the SimCity for the Super NES, so I don't
know. Yeah, that's true. You can design the interiors of battleships, so it seems like it's going to be a pretty deep city builder, is what I'm getting at. Because there's going to be, you know, you have enemies that you're going to be fighting with your battleships, and you're going to be inside of your battleships and creating a city and that sort of stuff. And they have a history of making good games. Normally, I would say, ooh, this is pretty ambitious. I don't know. But I have faith.
Yeah, I mean, it's just the fact that they're making a city builder that's, you know, sci-fi. I think that alone should be a good enough hook to bring in an audience. So
definitely. Well, you know what else is a hook? Speaking of sci-fi hooks.
Man, you have got to work on these segues.
These are the good ones, Eric.
These are the good ones?
Yeah.
No Man's Sky is tiptoeing closer to co-op with their new DLC, Atlas Rises.
What do you think? So it's been a while since No Man's Sky has been released.
Right.
You know, to the horror of many of people that were waiting on the game.
Right.
Do you think it has vastly improved since they've brought out like two or three major updates?
I think that so this is the problem with this title, and I go both ways on this because that's just how I live my life. So either I'm here, deal with it, right? Is that the line? Is that how that works?
Sure.
The game that they claimed that they were making will never exist. That game is just never going to be what everybody has built up in their mind. But the fact that Hello Games and Sean from Hello Games have kept their feet on the ground and kept moving to improve this title more so means so much more to me as a gamer than whatever this No Man's Sky will end up being at the very end of the day. Yeah, know what I mean?
They had a chance to just completely just say, fuck it.
You know, they could have made my money. Yep. Yeah. Like so many developers have done. Like that. It's so easy for them to be like, oh, well, this is it. Have a nice day. Because I don't believe that they're contractually obligated to continue to work on this title. But they choose to.
Technically fully released, so.
Right.
Right.
So I think that what they're doing is great. I think they're taking their time to, because what is it? They said that there's 30 hours of new story content. There's baby steps towards synchronous co-op.
They varied the planets and wildlife more, which is appreciated because that was like one of the big things too. Like you'll never find the same things twice. It's like, well.
Yep.
I found one penis monster that had stripes on it and another penis monster that had spots on it. So, I mean, I guess
they're still
different.
Penis monsters.
Yeah. Yeah. I would say I appreciate that. I mean, there was still a lack of communication, and I think that still is the where the bullshit was rooted in. Like, okay, you promised all these things, what the fuck, and then nothing. Was said. So
I go back and forth on that too, because it's like if you were constantly updating, then you're going to be constantly getting ridiculed, right?
Right.
So it's like you might as well just cut your losses and just make people think like, oh, you're not doing anything, and then drop, you know, a big update like months down the road. Like I hope, this is my hope, and somebody who feels like, you know, that we can need to grab onto any kind of light that is in the gaming community nowadays with all of the bullshit. But I hope that No Man's Sky becomes the standard of any time that somebody complains about a game being initially released as shit and what it can become to be.
You hear that, Star Citizen? The future is not as bleak as you think.
Jesus. No one fucking even start me at Star Citizen. But do you know what I mean? Like, yeah. I want people to be able to look at No Man's Sky 5 years from now and say, hey, we know this game is garbage right now and we apologize, but we are dedicated on fixing this. This is a No Man's Sky. Like,
I'm kind of curious of what do you think of the I mean, it's not from this Atlas Rises the update. It was from previous, but what do you think of the base building mechanic that they added in the last big update before this?
I'm a terrible person to ask for that because I could care less about that shit.
Really?
Yeah, I'm never, like, even in Fallout 4, they're like, oh, you have no idea what you could do. You can build this camp and have
Fallout
people.
Fallout 4,
I
kind of got annoyed with that because of the resource management in that was not efficient enough for me.
Right. What do you want out of a base builder? Do you know what I mean? Like, it's not.
I mean, it's the same thing people like Minecraft. I mean, it's creativity, and it's cool to have a place that you can call your own, put your own stamp. And a game like this where it's so vast and. You know, you can put a stamp on a planet and like, this is my place.
Sure.
And you can, I've always liked the recruitment mechanic too, where, so once you build your base, you can bring in the alien races to like trade with and shit like that. And they set up shop in there, which is cool.
Yeah.
You have people visit, you know, it's like, hey man, this is my crib. It's like, yeah, you should set up like an MTV Cribs through No Man's Sky.
No, I'm not going to do that.
Why not? You don't like MTV Cribs?
Is that even on anymore?
I don't know.
Okay. I think it's fine. I think it does its job.
Jersey
like,
Shore,
think...
but No Man's Sky. We should do that instead.
Oh, man. I have feelings now. I have feelings.
Of hatred.
That's all I'm going to say.
Stardew Valley multiplayer beta expected to begin at the end of the year, which is super exciting to me. I love Stardew Valley, and people that don't even like this kind of game still like Stardew Valley, from what I've mostly seen, I would say. But there's one, the one thing that was missing was multiplayer, because this is like, you could run the entire farm, and the thing about Stardew Valley for me, it's a really relaxing game, except I get stressed out by time management, because you only have a certain amount of time during the day, otherwise you fall asleep or whatever,
right?
And bad shit happens. So if you could do this with a partner, one guy's like running errands and the other guy's farming, vice versa, you know, farming through the mines for whatever you need, while the other person's fishing. You could both just be there and enjoy each other's company. And I'll leave it at that. But anyway, there is a mod already that you can do. It's not perfect.
There's a ton of mods, aren't there?
For multiplayer? I know there's at least one that's like decent.
I guess I'm thinking just in general, because I think somebody released like a Pokemon style.
I think, yeah, there is a Pokemon type thing.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. But yeah, there is a multiplayer mod, but this is like the official thing. Beta testing expected to start begin at the end of the year is what I'm trying to say. So just a couple more months for the beta, I guess. I'm really excited about that.
I'm excited for you.
Yes. The other thing that you should be excited for is Sunless Skies. If you know Fall in London, if you know Sunless Seas, the devs of Fail Better Games are making, I guess you would call this a sequel to Sunless Seas, or I don't know if it's necessarily like a direct sequel, but it is the second game within that universe.
I was going to say, I think they're calling it a sequel, aren't they?
It's within that universe, so we'll just say it's a sequel. Sunless Skies, which is weird to me, because I'm wondering, like, you know, the whole thing with Sunless Seas is that it was at sea. But I guess this isn't with airships and stuff like that.
Yeah, that's what it looks like.
Yeah, but the thing that Sunless Seas was about was that it was underground, so you kind of like were restrained in that way. So I wonder what they're going to use to restrain you from leaving, like the logic in the story that would keep you from like just leaving.
Probably not going to be any, man. It's probably just going to be like, whoop, whoop, please return to base. Please return to base. Whoop,
the invisible
whoop.
Wall effect.
I
want to give them benefit of the doubt, because they are really good at narrative. That is like their thing. So maybe they will like, hey, man, if you go too low, you're going to die of toxicity. Fuck you.
Mm.
You know, at least something. Instead of just a fucking alarm. I don't know. There's screenshots too. Maybe because there's like the first screenshot you see in this particular article on PC Gamer shows like some sort of fucking eye monster thing that maybe it's like below everything.
So gotcha.
It keeps you from landing. I don't know.
You could do that. I mean, you could just make it a small world that just keeps wrapping around itself.
Yeah.
I mean, there's all kinds
maybe
of ways.
Maybe the world exploded and all that's left is atmosphere.
Yeah. So it's like, yeah, you could totally go this way, but you would be flying for a literal hour in your time just to get here.
The science of what I just said I don't think makes any sense. But anyway, the fact is that Sunless Seas is really fun. Really hard, though. I found it really hard to progress, but it's supposed to be hard. It's like a roguelike, so, yeah. I mean, you know, whatever. But if you're a fan of narrative, open, roguelike, whatever, multi-genre game you could call this, then this is for you.
There you go.
All right. Next, I think this is... Nope, that one. IndieCade 2017, IndieCade Festival, I should say, which is also the same company as GDC. They have their own awards, but they often, like, run, I think... back-to-back, the IGF awards and the GDC awards. Anyway, the IndieCade 2017 Festival nominees have been brought in. And there's a lot of them. There's always a lot of them until they finally narrow it down to, you know, the finalists for each particular category. The main one being, like, giving you, like, a $5,000 prize, I think.
Yeah.
So, did you see any on this list that you are either... particularly excited for, or at least recognize, because a lot of times you find games on here and like, I've never heard of this, but it looks interesting.
I mean, there's so many games, man, but like One Shot's on here. We've spoke about that game on the show before. Frog Fraction 2 is on here.
I've never played Frog Fractions. I've heard of it and I kind of get the idea of what it is, but I've never, it's like a really weird, like it's not what you think it is type of game.
Right. So my whole thing with, I wrote a very long piece about Frog Fractions and, I feel like, the game is, so the first Frog Fractions was just a very dumb, nonsensical kind of like, it was based on like a 2600 game from way back in the day, but basically you're a frog and you're sucking down fractions, mathematical fractions.
Like the, what was that one that you played on like the Mac, like the original Mac? Like Word Munchers, but it wasn't Word Munchers.
Yeah, it's something. It was kind of like that. Like you're sitting on a lily pad. You're sucking up like flies and stuff.
Right.
Anyway, so what the whole idea of the game was from the developer was, how far can we take this? Like, how far can we like really sit down and feel like, well, wouldn't it be great if this was here or that was there? And then he does it. So like one of the big things is like you realize that you get a power up that allows you to jump off of your lily pad and go underneath the water. And there's a bunch of shit underneath the water. So it's like a very what if style game, if that makes sense.
Existential.
Right. It's a lot of fun. It's super cool to talk about with people who've played it, obviously, because a lot of this just doesn't make any sense. Now, Frog Fractions 2 is a completely different beast. Twinbeard, the developer of the game, went through, I think it was like 3 years, he did a Kickstarter campaign to raise money for it, and then it was a 3-year development cycle where he released nothing about the game, but he would release weird videos, podcasts, images, all kinds of just really odd shit, and that became the game because he was leaving little hints and to the actual game of where it was going to be. That ended up being the game. It was like a reality game
the
or
game
whatever.
Was finding the game,
right? Exactly. Like meta. he even got a hold of like legit developers and said, "Hey, would you mind putting this dumb thing?" Like the one that comes to mind is the developer Campo Sampo, who made Firewatch.
Mm-hmm.
He went to the Firewatch team, and said, "Hey, can you put this piece of literature in this very obscure part of your game that references Frog Fractions 2?" And they were like in on it. Like, he went to like 5 or 6 developers to do that. And Frog Fractions 2 ended up being a part of an entirely different game by an entirely different developer that you basically, quote unquote, unlocked from within that game. Does that make sense?
That's ridiculous.
So, to put Frog Fractions 2 on here?
That's like ARG Beyond.
Exactly, but not so. It's just that the game that's inside the game. Like, it's not the whole epic, journey that a large group of people took along the ride with. It's just, and it's like, oh, I don't agree with that, because Frog Fraction 2, the actual game itself, that game to what it is just, it's not very good. So I don't know. Like, I was, when I saw that, I was like, I could argue that for probably a good 45 minutes of how that's a terrible one. Like,
you think it'll win anything?
I think it will.
Wow.
I don't know. I don't think it's going to win like the end all be all, but it's definitely going to get a big nod.
Maybe it'll get that. There's like an experimental award I know that they give out. I forget what it's called, but maybe it'll win something in there. For me personally, there's we've talked about it before, the Sexy Brutale. Remember that game? That's nominated. The other one I'm particularly excited for is Where the Water Tastes Like Wine. It's like an adventure game with a really cool art style, and it's very whimsical and, but at the same time, dark, almost fairy tale esque. But it takes inspiration from books like *The Grapes of Wrath* and *Huckleberry Finn* and those like classic old time American novels, and stories. Which and there's poetry involved, and it looks really cool. I'm a sucker for that kind of aesthetic, so. That's what I'm excited about. I hope it does well. One more piece of news. If I can bring it up. There we go. Darkwood was finally released not that long ago, but the main story that I'd like to talk about is that the creators of Darkwood actually put their own game onto Pirate Bay so everyone can play it. And this actually isn't the first time that this has happened. I think it was Pixel Pirates or Pixel Piracy. Yep. I think those devs did that as well. They did it because they just figured, well, people are going to pirate it anyway. Let's at least give them
a legit copy.
Something that's not going to fucking give them a virus or something.
Right.
Darkwood, their claim is that they're doing it because they just feel bad that people can't necessarily afford the game. And, you know, it's like, well, if you can afford it, buy it. But if not, here you go. And to be honest, you could probably argue, too, that, hey, let's just get ahead of the fucking pirates and do it ourselves anyway. There were some on our Discord channel, I had a discussion going, and there were some interesting arguments about why, like, if your thing is, well, let's give it away for free for those who can't afford it, why not use a more legitimate platform like Itch.io or GameJolt where you can give it for free? And just
set up some sort of tip system.
If you want to pay,
yeah,
we suggest $15 or whatever you can afford.
Yep.
If not, here's it for free. And then on Steam, you can still sell it for $15 for those who just want it there. What do you think about it?
So I mean, it's if it's your game, you can do whatever the damn well you want with the game. I think them putting it on Pirate Bay was kind of silly. I agree with what was suggested in terms of like just basically creating a tip jar and saying, hey, you know, we were going to retail this game for $15, but, you know, pay whatever you can, blah, blah, blah. Because, you know, there are some of those humble people out there that will happily pay more than that, you know. So a lot of the stuff it kind of makes up in the end. If it were me and somebody came to me and said, hey, we have a fear that this game's going to get pirated and or $15 just might be too much for people, so we're just going to put up for free.
Guaranteed it would be pirated. I mean, that's just the fact.
Right. So I would be like, don't do that. Create a shareware version style, like create a vertical slice of maybe like the first 30 minutes of the game that is full, and then just say, hey, this is a full 30-minute experience. If you would like more, then you can purchase it down the way. So to at least give somebody something to talk about, to say, to keep, you know, your name in somebody's mouth. Like, I feel like the shareware model or the vertical slice model of gaming has dropped out. And I think as a whole, it's kind of hurt the community, and it's created things like the gray key market, and it's created piracy and stuff. And
well,
it's
that,
like,
is one thing that they specified when they announced that they put it on the Pirate Bay, is that they just ask, like, they'll do this and they'll put it on Pirate Bay, but they just ask that people do not buy it from G2A because they feel that those types of plays hurt the dev market more than anything.
And I agree with that. Absolutely.
Yeah.
But fuck you, G2A. I feel like there's a lot of missed opportunity when it comes to that stuff. Like, who was I talking to? I can't remember now, but it was kind of the same kind of conversation. It's like, why don't you just make like a shareware version? Just make like an episodic or an episodic vertical slice. And it's like, oh, it's too hard. The game's already done, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, okay, well, then make something else. Like, do a Twine game that ties into the lore of your game, or do like a quick game maker, like top down shooter or something. Like, do something else. Like, don't just say, here it is. Like, if you're worried about people either pirating your game or buying it from G2A or something like that, then you have to give them, you have to give just that one little bit of thing. Like, how much work would it actually take for you to sit down and make a 10-minute Twine game? But how much, you know, like, how much would people talk about? Like, oh shit, did you play the Twine game though? Did
like
you
a, it's
like,
almost
did
like
you
a
get
PT,
into the lore?
Almost,
yeah,
like a PT to the Silent Hills.
Yeah, so it's like, why wouldn't you? Like, why wouldn't you do that? Like, it's that one little thing. And I think the other thing that is more important on something like that is the fact that nobody else is doing it. So
Holly,
why wouldn't you?
Holly in chat saying shareware doesn't really work though. That's why it fell away. People will play the free part and then they will want to finish it and they'll go download it illegally if they were going to anyway. It won't stop pirates.
I don't believe that. I just flat out don't believe that.
I mean, in my mind, there are two groups. It's I know it's not as black and white, but in my mind, it kind of is. There are two groups of people. There are people who will pay for it, and there are people who will not buy it, whether it's free or not. You know what I mean? They just aren't going to buy it. So if you're going to give it away for free, or even like in a bundle, like a Humble Bundle, people who wouldn't have bought it originally will buy it then or play it for free anyway, if that makes sense. You know what I mean? Like, they're not going to give you money either way, is what I'm saying.
Right.
So, not that it doesn't hurt, because, I mean, especially if they are playing it because they're taking your work that you put your own money and blood, sweat, and tears into, but at the same time, most of those people weren't going to give you the money anyway, is what I'm saying. You know, I don't know how to explain it without sounding like I'm taking their side. I'm not defending them at all.
No, I get it. So I'm just thinking, like, as me, as a conscious consumer, I have definitely purchased more games where I was able to download a free demo to get an idea, because, you know, images and videos and sure as hell ratings and bullshit influencers don't do a whole lot for me. Like, I just need to play the game, and if there's no way for me to get some sort of idea of like how the game feels, or is there
game genre, right? Because I mean, Darkwood's like a roguelite, I guess you could say, and it's a horror, so putting it out to these influencers, or, you know, that sort of thing, might be more helpful to this kind of game as it would, as opposed to something more linear and narrative based, where it's giving away the whole story, and that's, at that point you're like, well, why should I buy it after I've just watched it played?
Sure.
Like Firewatch taking down, you know, their thing from PewDiePie. We're like, hey, well, I mean, I know that had to do with the whole controversy, but that was also their thing. Like, you know what, if he's going to be like that, I don't want him spoiling the game for everyone else anyway.
Yeah, and I get that. And it's like, I feel that, like, when it comes to piracy, like, people are, like, what you were saying, like, people who aren't going to pay for the game are just not going to pay for the game. And it's like, that's, in my opinion, that is why you don't put your game up on Pirate Bay, like, to try to stop piracy, because piracy is going to happen regardless if you feel like it's, like, you can stop it or not. What you're trying to do is give that extra avenue to people who may be weary about spending $15 for a developer that they've never heard of, a kind of a bridge to help make that purchase. And I feel like shareware and demos are one of the avenues that people aren't taking advantage of anymore.
Right. Speaking of, by the way, on a slightly different topic, what do you think, because this is in-game news, the whole thing with PewDiePie, if you didn't know, we're not going to be talking specifically about PewDiePie, but to give some context, PewDiePie said the N-word on a live stream, and he's back in trouble with everyone, blah, blah, blah. And what I'm talking about is Campo Santo, the developers of Firewatch, decided to pull their rights to file a DMCA claim and take it down from his channel because of that.
Right.
And now they're getting review bombed by, you know, basically all of his fans. Like the vast majority of the reviews that came in recently are just zeros. People who haven't even played it in the past like month or so, they have 0 hours played in it, are now bombing it with negative reviews. So how do you feel about that?
So the first thing I'll say are, people are stupid. If you honestly think that you can bomb a game on Steam with low reviews is going to hurt the sales, that's just dumb. That is a dumb thing to think. So you're wasting your time. In terms of what Camposantos did, in terms of basically what's being deemed as weaponizing DMCA, or is it DMCA or DCMA? Which one is it?
I think it's DMCA.
Digital Media Copyright something? All right.
Yeah, I think probably. It's DMCA.
So apparently from a legal standpoint, I feel that from what I remember reading, from a legal standpoint, like, they are well in the right to do that. And the reason why nobody typically does it is because what the backlash would be. Yeah. So I feel that, like, it's their game, so they can do whatever the hell they want. I think this is going to hurt them more than any kind of dumb Steam bombing, rating bombing does.
Yeah.
Because this is what's going to stick out when somebody searches for Firewatch. this news article is going to come up. You know what I mean?
I agree that they have the right to do this, to be honest. Any company has a right to. I mean, you're putting their work up on screen. They have the right to take it down if they want. The reason you're right about the reason that they don't is part of the reasons that they get the backlash. But the other reason is, to be honest, YouTube and Twitch and stuff like that do help the sale of most games.
Oh, absolutely.
So, you know, at that point, just let them. But just playing devil's advocate, like, why? I mean, how long ago did he play Firewatch? You know, like, it was back when it was released, which is, what is that, a year ago? Maybe more?
It's been almost, it's like a year and a half.
And now
Exactly, it's dumb. Like, the whole thing is stupid. That's why, like, this is...
Like, I mean, they're making a social...
making a social stand. That's all it is. It's got nothing to do... Yeah, that's got nothing to do with...
So at this point, it's arbitrary. It's like...
Exactly, that's what I'm saying. Like,
you could have just denounced him. You should have been like, PewDiePie's a dick, and it would have been the same thing.
Exactly. But the fact that they're actually using the DMCA, and then now they're getting the rating bomb, it's like... They brought all of this on themselves. Again, it's their game. They can do whatever they want. But, I mean, it's still... Exactly. It's been too long. Like, what game was he playing? Was he playing PUBG?
Yeah.
I don't remember.
Yeah, it was.
I mean, if it were me, I would think PUBG should have been the one to come out and say something.
Yeah.
You know? But, you know, they're just
They go all willy-nilly with banning people anyway, so why not?
Oh, yeah. They're crazy about banning people. But, I mean, I think that's dumb. Like, I think it's dumb that them... trying to get those videos taken down. I think it's dumb that he even said anything. I think it's dumb that he's even popular, but again, I'm not his audience, so I can't do anything about that. But it's what people seem to forget is that the internet has a very short memory. So it's like all of this is going to happen and all of this is going to go on, and in 2 weeks from now we're all going to forget about it
and move along. Yeah.
And the ratings, if the game is good, the ratings will go right back to where they were, because at the end of the day, that's all of a rating is. Like, if a game is good, it'll get a good rating. If a game is bad, it'll get a bad rating at the end of the day.
It's mob mentality mixed with ADHD.
Right. So, I mean, I think it's just another one of those things where it's like, oh, God, we get to keep the lid on it. And then something else terrible happens in the world and everybody forgets and we move on.
Well, like, speaking of moving on, I think it's time to move on to starting a riot. Huh? This week on Starring the Riot, we are talking about Hellblade, Senua's Sacrifice. I think it's how you pronounce it, I believe. Hellblade, Senua's Sacrifice, that thing, made by Ninja Theory. These are the same people, if I'm not mistaken, who worked on Devil May Cry 4.
Is like that why? Okay.
The newer one. I believe in some other like AAA games, and this is the story basically of a AAA studio gone indie. They developed this, and did they publish it themselves? I forget now. But anyway, the point was they wanted to make these games themselves, have more creative control, and they also make a point of on their website of saying, "Hey, we believe in triple indie," which we've talked about that sort of thing before, where
right.
They make AAA quality games at indie prices. In this case, you know, a really nice looking game at $30. So, you know, when a AAA game would normally cost $60. So that was like one side of this. The other side is that this game is heavily involved with the whole mental health awareness type of thing. And Senua in the game... is dealing with what seems to be some sort of schizophrenia, I would say.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
Because she's
like a multiple personality kind of thing, maybe.
I don't know if it's multiple personality, but she's definitely hearing voices. And that's actually kind of part, I don't know if I want to call it a gimmick or not, but they use binaural audio throughout the whole game. So you're playing, it's a horror game, by the way. So you're playing and you're hearing these whispers and like, in your ears,
right?
You know, and it's like in a 3D audio space where it's going around from the right side, and you can kind of feel it going around the back, and it gives you like the hair stand up on the back of your neck. And then, you know, there's like a bunch of those kinds of voices, and then there's like a main voice that's like telling you what to do and like making fun of you and shit and telling you you can't do it. And she's there, she's like carrying around someone's head with her. I think it's like her boyfriend or like husband or whatever he was or something like that. I don't know the full story because I didn't play through it. But I know the beginning. I know just the mechanics. And it's cool too because the fighting mechanic in this game, they use the binaural audio to also have like the voices warning you, like behind you, you know,
right.
And it'll be like behind you, when you're fighting and you quick turn around, there's a guy there about to chop you with an axe. And it's also permadeath, if you didn't know. And by permadeath, it's not that you die and you have to start over, but if you die too many times, because then it's done. Then you have to start over.
Right. So this news story that came out a couple of weeks ago was they were claiming that they would erase your save file.
Yeah.
If you died so many times, which right. ended up not being true.
So what did they say? What actually happens? Because I was under the impression that's what happened.
No, it was a straight lie. Like they just straight up lied about it.
Damn, Ninja Theory.
Yeah, like that. It came out that they were thinking about doing something like that, and they had it in the game for a short time before release, and then right before release they took it out. But the plan was is they were going to go, straight up Metal Gear Solid with it, where it was going to be like if you died so many times, we just completely erase your save game file and have you start over. I mean, so that was kind of what came about it. So have you heard that Metal Gear Solid story?
No.
So,
I only played one Metal Gear Solid in my life.
How was it? Was it good?
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I mean, I was like 11 or something. It was the one
for the NES or no. for the PlayStation. Yeah, first PlayStation.
It was on PlayStation 2 or first PlayStation. I forget which one. It was the one with Raiden in it.
I think that's the second one
where he's like running around naked. It's like, I think it is the second one.
Yeah. Anyway, so what's his name? Afume, okay. The developer. That's his name, isn't it? Sure. He was going to make it so that they found out, or they were told by Sony or whoever. They're like, oh, by the way, whatever you do, don't let the disc spin past this RPM, or basically the console will catch fire. So like there was like a governor on the console at one point where it was like, look, if you can program it to have the disc spin this fast, if it spins this fast, the thing's gonna damn near catch fire. So that's what he wanted to do. He wanted to make it to a point where if you died so many times, or if you died in a certain part of the game, or if you answered a question wrong or something, it would break your game disc. Like he really wanted to do it. Like he was furious when But he wanted that because, again, nobody else was doing anything that ridiculous. So he was like, I'm going to be the person that makes this what ultimately would have been a mistake. And I feel like so when the news story came out with Hellblade stating that they were going to erase your game file if you died so many times, it was like, awesome. Finally, somebody's going to take that leap to have real precaution or a real what's the word?
Balls.
Well, to have a real reason to die, because the only thing that dying does now is sends you to a loading screen.
Right.
Like the best we can get is like with Dark Souls and Bloodborne, where like you lose all of your souls or your soul. Hey, there are consequences. Thank you. And like if you die before getting back those souls are gone forever. Like there is no penalty for dying anymore, except for seeing a loading screen. So I was really upset when it came out that it was a farce. I was like, that you missed a golden opportunity to put the draw that line in the sand. That there needs to be better consequence. Exactly.
It.
Yeah. But will they?
That is pretty disappointing. I mean, at this point, probably not. That sucks. I did not know that.
Yeah.
By the way, if you didn't notice, you might have saw earlier in the gameplay footage showing that the death, because you mentioned loading screens, and the death in this actually. Basically, you gain the black rot or the dark rot, and you see it on her right arm right now, and it just kind of travels and takes up more of your body as you die. And the idea was that if it reaches, I think, your head or your heart or something like that, then it's fucking done.
It was done.
But
yeah.
Apparently not. Nope. Some other things in this game that are kind of interesting is this is kind of like a puzzle mechanic where you get these Nordic symbols. That you have to, you walk up to a door that might be blocked and it like leads to some weird dimension or something. And there are three symbols on there, or however many symbols, and you have to take those symbols, look throughout the environment, and find a way to basically, like the symbol is like hovering on your screen. If you push a button, you can like make it light up. And then, so say there's like a couple of trees off a little bit in the distance, and the symbol that you have is like an X, right? Or whatever. I'm just making an example.
Sure.
You have to take that X that's on your screen and hover it over those trees that should also be in an X, you know, depending on the direction that you're viewing it from, and make it match up, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it's a like an augmented puzzle.
Right.
Where like you it reminds me of what's the Jonathan Blow title that came out? His latest game.
Witness?
Yeah, Witness. It reminds me of Witness because there's parts in that game, like some of the puzzles, like you have to get up on top of a tower, and when you look down, you see like, oh, there's a river that runs through this place, and then you realize that the river itself and the path it goes is an actual puzzle that you can pick and draw on. Like, there's right. a lot of really cool stuff like that.
I don't know if they're going to show it in this or not, in this gameplay footage, but I don't know. I just really enjoy it. It's not necessarily hard. It's more of like an I spy. You know, like, you have to figure out where you need to stand to get it just right. So it's making the shape that you need. But I don't know. There's something about it that I liked as a puzzle goes. It's nothing like yeah. crazy. Especially considering that this is kind of a hack and slash action game. A little bit.
Right.
So.
Well, I think like isolation, being isolated, I think that's a... like a gameplay mechanic that's kind of come up recently with like what's the alien game
Isolation?
That came out? Oh shit, is it? I was thinking the movie's Covenant.
Yeah, Alien Isolation.
Yeah, right. But like so that one, like Tacoma, like there's games, like it feels like there's like a wave of games that are coming out now that make you feel like, you know, isolated and small and kind of like in these tight spaces, and like I think that. Yeah, claustrophobic. Like, that's cool. Like, I dig that stuff. And seeing it, like, in a hack and slash game. Oh, by the way, Ninja Theory did Heavenly Blade, if anybody ever played that game. That's,
yeah,
like,
that
if you wanted a grown-up, a quote-unquote, well, I'll put this in air quotes, but a quote-unquote grown-up version of The Legend of Zelda, it was Heavenly Blade. So, they're good. Ninja Theory's good. Good by my book.
Except they're liars.
Ah, whatever. I mean, it's...
Yeah, whatever. I don't mind being lied to.
The backlash of something like that, man. Well, I mean, might, people would be pissed off.
They might show you here. So... I'm looking at the gameplay footage. So she has to find, see how it's like kind of like faded on the screen, and she has to find where that shape is. So
oh, okay. So like elsewhere.
Right. So now they're gonna look around the environment and see how they can match that in the environment. That's a really complicated design. So I don't know where they would find that, but now you might understand what I'm talking about. The one thing I wanted to kind of go back to before we move on is the whole mental health aspect of this. They took it upon themselves to have a character with pretty obvious schizophrenic delusions with the voices and stuff like that. So it's although in the game, I guess you could say, well, you don't really know if it's that case or if it's, you know, really paranormal and she just looks crazy or whatever. But they took it upon themselves to really kind of hone in on that and try and be sensitive to it. Do you think they succeeded in bringing not only awareness, but also being sensitive in the game as the character is?
Yeah, I think, I mean... Absolutely. I think I even remember reading that they actually reached out to like the community, like the mental health community for like help on how to like how does it really not textbook like actually spoke with people with certain like mental disabilities and stuff. I could be wrong, but
hers would be definitely because schizophrenia is definitely in those kinds of mental disorders are definitely a spectrum.
Right.
Hers would definitely be on the far end, the extreme of that. With the voices, although schizophrenia is most mental health disorders, schizophrenia in particular are hard, you know, without actually being schizophrenic,
it's hard to describe. Yeah,
it's hard to really understand and describe.
Right.
And, you know, psychologists and psychiatrists, they do the best they can, but honestly, how can they when they are not? And if you are, you're not really in a position to describe it, you know what I mean?
Right. And I mean, and it's, I think that's, again, like if something, I think this is, it's just breaking the surface on something like this. Mm-hmm. So it, I don't think that it, I you know, obviously there's going to be people who are going to be upset about it because that's just what people do. They're upset about it. But I think it's going to do more, more good than not, because I feel like if somebody does play this game and they're intrigued by like what the character is going through, then maybe they can, they'll take it upon themselves to look into it and maybe somehow, you know, maybe help make a donation to a certain, you know, charity or something. Like I feel, I think it's a great idea for a game. Like that's a great idea for a game, a gameplay mechanic. And I feel like
on their website, they do list, they do have a specific link to, something. I have to go look at it. Hold on.
Yeah.
Mental health support. There's like a tab up top. Hellblade: Senua's Sacrifice, help and information. If you've been affected by any of the issues you've seen in Hellblade and want to talk to someone about it or find out more, select your country from the drop-down menu. So it gives you resources, such as the Mental Health Association in the United States, Take a Mental Health Screen, and JED, the JED Foundation, and Teen Mental Health, they give links to.
Oh, I thought they were just like naming some dude like, yeah, call JED. Like he'll answer the phone if you call.
I don't know who JED is, but it's a foundation.
But no, I think it's great. Like I hope more developers take notice of something like this and they try to incorporate it into their games as well.
Holly says she seems more of a moderate case. That could be. I guess you could say that the really extreme cases would be like the people that are violent because of it. You know, like setting houses on fire and stuff. Because I know a couple people that have schizophrenia, and that the kind where they do have maybe hear voices and have trouble disassociating fiction from reality. You know, it mixes that together for them. But I assuming that it's controlled with like medication, they're not violent or anything like that, and generally mostly independent. But so I guess you in that way, because I mean, I don't know, she is violent. I mean, she is killing something. I don't know if it's real or not in this game.
Right.
Depending, like you said, depending if it's like all a delusion or not, but you know, if you are I went to college for psychology, but I did not go the whole way. So if you are more qualified than me and you would like to explain, feel free to comment. I would love to know.
My knowledge in this department is zero. So,
and
I have no idea.
Well, you know what we're going to beef your knowledge up on next?
Oh, please, please let it be. Oh, no, never mind.
Let it
be. Something else. Wow, bro.
Let it be.
Please, please, please stop.
That's Peep
Get
Show.
Get that Peep Show going. We're going to Peep Show.
Please give all your attention to Early Access.
This week on Peep Show, we're talking about a game called Deadhold by Dark Quarry Games. You want to just start off with the it's a new kind of RTS thing?
So it's a new kind of RTS. let me just read this. So this is So Deadhold's gameplay is a unique mix of real-time tactics, essentials like strategic positioning, unit classes, and physically based simulation, similar to such classic games as Myth and Dawn of War 2, combined with items, loot, and leveling found in other action RPG games like Diablo and Path of Exile. The result is a fresh take on a tactical RTS that should delight fans of both RTS and ARPG genres. So what is new about this game? Because it just sounded like you listed a bunch of gameplay mechanics that are found in other games. Putting them all together in a single game does not make it a new kind of game.
Am I wrong, though? Well, if you take mechanics from other genres and you mash them together, Does it then create a new kind of game? Not new mechanics, but a new game as they are put together in a different way. So it's like, think of it as a recipe. If you make a PB&J, obviously okay. Not original, good, but not an original. If you add some Fluffernutter to that, it is then an entirely different sandwich.
Is it?
Yes. The ingredients have been used in separate things themselves.
Right, but that's, to me, that's not an entirely different sandwich. You were taking a standard, which is the PB&J, and then just slapping some shit on it.
And then adding some banana, maybe a sardine in there.
All right, now this is getting ridiculous. This is getting absolutely ridiculous. No, I just don't, I don't know. Like, I feel like, I don't know why people try to reinvent the wheel, I guess is all I'm saying.
There's a quote from, like, I'm going to say, like, Aristotle, but I might be full of shit. I don't know. Where basically, so like, the essential thing of the quote was that everything has been done under the sun. You know what I mean?
Sure.
There's no original idea anymore, is what the idea was. And that was like,
right, I've heard that before,
that was like 1,000 years ago. You know what I mean?
Right, yeah. Which, I mean, if you break it down to the bare bones of practically everything, then yeah, that's true. Like, it all breaks down to, you know, the five common feelings or the five common needs or whatever it's called. And I get that, and that's fine, but it's like, I go for experiences. You know, like, I want a new experience.
Right, well,
so
here,
like,
here. Actually, Holly makes a good example with my PB&J analogy. I love to eat peanut butter and jelly sandwiches with lots of hot sauce on them. Is that a different sandwich or just a PB&J with hot sauce on it?
That's first a PB&J all, with hot sauce
are
on
you,
it.
No, you just said, I want an entirely different experience. If you put hot sauce, especially particularly hot sauce, on a PB&J, that is going to give you a different experience, sir. Just saying.
But No. You're using my words for me, because that does not. Okay, so does that give me a new experience? Absolutely. But does that create a brand new sandwich? No.
Yeah, it's the hot PB&J.
You see what I'm saying? It's like my go-to for this is always Portal. Okay, Portal technically didn't bring anything new to gaming. It was a first-person puzzle platformer. It had been done before. What it did was made it what it was the experience of you playing the game. It had an amazing storyline. It had great plot development. Like, the puzzles were really, really well done, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it's not a brand new genre. It's just somebody took something and made it so much better by adding everything else to it that needs to make a full product, not just a new genre.
So let me say this. What if would you prefer? I mean, first of all, I mean, obviously, this is all marketing. You know,
oh, absolutely. It's that's like all we're people. Yeah, that's all new. This is.
But are you okay with it not being new and just being done well? Like what you said. Like, would you spend? Like, you played this game before with a different skin, but it's still done really well. You would still pay for that?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, but I mean, using that marketing tactic of this is a new take, and it's like, I don't need that. I don't need a new take on a genre. Just give me a solid game that I want to come back and play again and again and tell people about. That's all I need. I don't need some newfangled experience or newfangled terminology and bullshit. Just give me a really good game. That's all.
One thing, a piece of advice to devs too, and I've talked a long time ago, I talked about this with Tim Donnelly, who makes Boss 101. Do not, I'm personally fine with you calling it a new thing, whatever, you know. I can see for myself whether or not it's what's new or not new.
Right.
But don't, for your own sake, don't compare it to a game that has already done what you're doing well. Even if it's, or even part of the game, because what's going to happen is that the fans of that game are going to come check out your game and say, let's see about that. And then shit on you for it,
right,
not being like that game.
Yeah.
Or at least not as good as that game. And then you will not be able to crawl the hole. And it's
right.
Happened. Because Tim was relaying that story a long time ago to me about one of his friends. Who made a game and compared it to, like, I think XCOM or something like that. And XCOM fans were like, no. And never crawled out of the negative review hole on Steam, which then gets the game buried.
Now, I think that when it, and like in terms of comparisons, like it makes sense when you're just like trying to tell a friend about the game, where it's like, oh, well, if you liked Diablo, then this game's a little like Diablo. Like, I think that's the perfect time to use a comparison. But if you're using comparisons as a marketing exploit, like that's just terrible
it
marketing.
Better I'm like, well, if you're gonna do that, then it better actually fucking do it.
You better have somebody who actually worked on that game work on your game. So like, yeah, it's a lot like Diablo, and the reason why is because we have so and so from the Diablo team.
Yeah, there's I know there's games that are like that, but I can't think of them off the top of my head.
Yeah, I can't think of anything.
To go into this game a little bit, as far as what it is.
I was gonna say we've already shit on it for.
I would say we're not shitting on it. It was just that particular line.
Yeah, that little bit just always
tweaks Eric's nerves.
Tweaks my nipples.
Turn the hills red, according to Deadhold. Command your army, hack your enemy to pieces. Turn the hills red. A new kind of RTS. If you want to get angry about it, unique mix of real time tactics with strategic positioning, unit classes. You know, it's not just like I'm trying to think of a game that's speaking of comparing to where it's kind of like
it kind of looks like Warcraft 2, but it's more I was gonna say StarCraft with the classes, maybe.
Yeah, Warcraft,
but it's kind of but it looks like it's more of a tower defense style. Or is that just me watching this gameplay footage?
I don't know about tower.
Because like these, because we haven't moved this entire time. Like we've just been hanging out, and these enemies have just been appearing out of nowhere to come and attack. Like they're not coming from a base or anything.
True. I wonder if it's like an arena type thing. Because I mean, Age of Empires was kind of like that, but they did come out of their own like part of the map. They're saying that it's the RTS mixed with some RPGs like Diablo and Path of Exile. So, I mean, you're able to, I would assume, level up your
troops
that way. Thank you. I can't think of words.
Hey, consequences. That looks good.
There is a campaign mode for those single player lovers. That's me. Also multiplayer for those who want to. You can play on team or do a free for all with up to 8 players on multiple maps and game modes. And they're also implementing leaderboards in tournaments as they go through early access on Steam. Which is grand, but you have to make sure that you have the audience for that.
Yeah.
You don't want to die out. But
so at first glance, like, this game isn't for me. I'm not a fan of RTSs, really. But I can see how people would be like, fuck, this is what I want to play. Because it looks like it's because to me, like, games like this make or break by the key binding. Like, if you're not able to key bind correctly and be able to select so many troops at one time, or like be able to grab all of your to separate like your soldiers from like your golems or something like that, like, because it doesn't look
like Total War in that
way. Like this, I mean, I would be intrigued to watch.
You think Total War is kind of like an RPG mixed with an RTS.
Yeah.
When you think about it, because I mean, you're gaining traits and leveling up your commanders and your troops, right? I think your troops get leveled up. I forget, but anyway.
Yeah, it's been too long. But I mean, yeah, for what it is, it looks great. It's just this isn't a game for me for sure.
It is on Steam for currently. I don't even know if we talked about it. I think I did say it was $30 for the last game. But anyway, this is on Steam for $19.99 early access.
I'd pay that.
They are going to, once it's out of early access, they are going to raise the price according to their little blurb. You would pay $20 for this?
Yeah. If I was into this, if I was into RTSs, I would totally drop money on this.
As of August 29th, they said, actually, I just noticed this, Deadhold Friday Night Fights every Friday starting at 8 p.m. So I think you can play against the devs in some multiplayer. And there's also a co-op mode.
So that's a great idea.
Yeah.
That's totally cool. I would totally watch that.
That's how you build an audience.
Yep.
95%. I mean, it's only 21 reviews, but 95%. So I mean, they're doing something right, I guess, at this point.
I think this is. I mean, this is just a very niche game, because like games like this are dominated by like, well, now it's dominated by like MOBAs and StarCraft 2 and Diablo 3 and, well, maybe not Diablo 3.
Torchlight. I saw Torchlight in the chat. And
yeah.
Speaking of. And I did enjoy I have both, but I've never played the second one yet. I've only, because I haven't had time to go through them at all, as old as they are. But those are good examples of being similar to other games like Diablo and making it their own and, right. and holding up to that expectation. So, you know what I'm expecting?
Is it the free fun?
It is free fun.
So free.
Coming up next. This week on Free Fun, we're talking about Peridium. Peridium.
Is that how you pronounce it?
That is how you pronounce it. That's the wrong thing. There we go. Peridium by Powerhoof. If you don't know Powerhoof, you should. They're a fantastic dev studio who made the game Crawl. Have you played Crawl?
I've not played Crawl.
It's great. You can... It's... I want to say multiplayer, it kind of is, but basically you play against everyone else and they fuck you with monsters and stuff like that. Not literally, but it's
so
a good time.
Confused.
They did a really good job of that. Anyway, they made Peridium for, let me get back to this page.
Game Jam.
It is Original Adventure Jam.
2017.
The big time adventure jam. That they made this for. Essentially, it's a very short game. I think it's like, depending on how you play it, but I think it's like 15 minutes or something like that. Beautiful art, by the way. Especially
music's really good.
Yeah, that too. And considering that it's very monotoned and muted, it still pops really well, so they did a good job with that. Decent voice acting. It kind of reminds me of The Thing in feel. John Carpenter's The Thing.
Yep.
And you start off as this dude, Australian accent guy, he's in like a bunker and people are trying to get in like, hey man, you're losing your shit. Let's calm down now. And there's another dead dude in there. You have to search around and figure out what's going on. Are you infected? Are you not? And there's like two endings, I think, that you can get depending on how you do things. It's pretty good. I mean, I'm trying not to give too much away. Yeah, if you want to play. Because, I mean, it's short, so there's not a whole lot I can say to not spoil it. As a matter of fact, watching it might be kind of rough. So just turn off the visual and keep the audio on if you don't want it spoiled. But anyway.
Some of this stuff like blows me away. Because if you haven't seen the video, like check out the video. The art is mind-bogglingly well done. Pixel art. That's what blows my mind. It's like, did you guys already have like these assets sitting around, and it's just something that the artist just was just like, oh, if we ever decide to do a post-apocalyptic, blah blah blah, like here's a bunker or here's a such and such, and we can just swap the colors out, like, because it's so like, this is a perfect scene. Do you see the what I can only assume is like a power line. Uh-huh. Cable that was like kind of strewn about and like it was like patched in different spots up on the ceiling.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there it is. Like, if this is just a game jam game, like why on earth do you need this much detail? Do you know what I mean? Like, it's just crazy the amount of detail that's in this.
I'm not sure how big the team is for Powerhoof. Like, maybe they have multiple artists. Holly says he saw it being developed, so maybe he has
more insight
into it.
I need insight, man, because it's mind-boggling to me.
During that game jam, it was You're My Hero, if you remember that from IRX.
I do.
Powerhoof never ceases to impress me. I highly suggest going to check out Crawl. It's a very similar art for Crawl. For you, Eric, I would say go check it out, too.
So I don't know, because I'm on the Steam page, and I'm getting ready to put it on my wish list, and I scroll down, and I see a new spin on dungeon crawling.
I feel like you're hard-pressed to not find that on
yeah, right?
Although it kind of is. It kind of is with the whole aspect of people, like, controlling your doom. Mm. I mean, it's almost like Twitch integration, you know? Some of those.
Oh, games. Really? It's that in-depth?
It's what it seems like to me. I haven't had the chance to play it with people because I don't have friends.
That's a period.
That's just really
my friends. Period.
Yeah, that's it. Mm. So, if anyone, maybe I mean, hey, maybe I'll be able to play it on stream sometime for one of these things.
There you go.
Yeah. So yeah, Peridian by Powerhoof. I don't know if there is there anything else you wanted to say about it. These things are kind of short.
I mean, it's small games. I mean, if you like point and click adventures and you like horror aspects, I mean, this has got to be right up your alley.
There you go. You know what else is right up our alley?
It's closing time, ain't it?
It is closing time. The end of the show. Right up the alley. Thank you again for hanging around with us during the turbulence between missing hosts and webcams going down and whatever the fuck else is going on between illness, depression.
I mean, you know, I was here the whole time.
Whatever.
So what
Eric. He was just waiting in his chair the entire month, waiting for IGR to come back. It was kind of sad. What's that Richard Gere movie with the dog that just sits there until he dies because Richard Gere died of cancer? Do you know what I'm talking
about? Oh my God, that sounds terrible.
It was no fucking idea. Richard Gere had a dog, and the dog would like run through town, and Richard Gere would get off like a train or something, and it would like greet him there, and then one day Richard Gere dies of cancer. And the dog goes there, and he never comes. And the dog literally just stays there for, like, the rest of its life until it dies. And it's really sad.
I mean, it sounds like an episode of Futurama.
It's kind of like that one episode. Yeah. That one episode, yeah. Kind of is. I feel like one of them took from the other.
Maybe.
But anyway.
I have no idea, man. Deep cuts. Just deep cuts all around.
Yeah, end of the show. Again, thank you for sticking.